Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Do you have this one trait, this godly trait, that will cause you to succeed in every situation? This one godly trait, it will cause you to stand head and shoulders above the rest. It's the spirit of excellence. Good morning, this is your wake-up call. It's wake-up call 095, a spirit of excellence. I'm your host, AJ. This is the Faith for My Generation podcast, and I'm glad that you're joining me. Whether you're listening or watching, I'm thankful for you. I want to read one verse out of the book of Daniel and then go to the book of Colossians. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 says this: "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Now, we've done a wake-up call. We've done a podcast episode on Daniel chapter 6, how Daniel, he's in this position, in this place, in the Babylonian kingdom, and then later, the Persian kingdom. And he is so greatly hated by all the other governors and rulers in this Persian kingdom. And they don't like him because he's winning, he's succeeding, and he's going to be put in a place possibly over all of them. And of course, if you keep reading in Daniel chapter 6, it's that famous story, he's thrown in the lion's den, right? I can see it now in my daughter's beginner Bible, story Bible. I can see Daniel laying his head on one of those lions, using it as a pillow, nudging it with his elbow to soften it up a little bit as he goes to sleep in the lion's den. King Darius, he's fasting all night. He's not even eating food. He's so nervous he can't stand it. He goes out as fast as he possibly can the next day because he loves Daniel. He tried all means possible not to put Daniel in the lion's den, but according to Persian law, he said it, so it has to be done. He runs out there. "Daniel, are you alive?" "Yes, I am. Praise the Lord, I am. The Lord, my God, he's delivered me." Well, why did Daniel end up in the lion's den? Well, it was because of jealousy and insecurity of all the other people that were in the kingdom that were in the same position and power and some less power than Daniel, and as well as Daniel, all these governors and these satraps and these different people that are in rulership in this massive empire. And if you didn't catch last Monday's episode on the Faith for My Generation podcast, how to protect your heart from jealousy, you need to go listen to it. In fact, these guys, they should have subscribed to the Faith for My Generation podcast and listened to that episode, and they wouldn't have got upset with Daniel, but that's neither here nor there. Why was Daniel thrown in the lion's den? Well, they're jealous, they're upset. But why were they jealous? Why were they upset? Because Darius was going to appoint Daniel to the highest position possible. And why was he going to appoint Daniel to that high position? Well, because he believed in God. No, it doesn't say that, actually. It doesn't say that Daniel was a good guy, he was holy, he was going to believe that he believed in God, and that's why King Darius was going to raise him higher in the kingdom. Though all those things are true about Daniel, and they all are vitally important, and I would say necessary for this godly characteristic and trait. But why did Daniel succeed? Why was he set above everyone else, head and shoulders? Why was Darius, the head of the largest empire, the ruler of the largest empire on the planet, why did he even know Daniel's name? Because Daniel set himself apart because he had a spirit of excellence. Verse 3, because an excellent spirit was in him. He had a spirit of excellence. What does it mean to have a spirit of excellence? Everything Daniel did, he did it with integrity. He did it with honor. He did it truthfully. He did it to the best of his ability. You know, if you look and see in the verse 2 right before it, Daniel is set into a position of one of three governors. So Daniel is in this, there's three positions of governors in equality, in rule and reign, and he's one of the three. And what were these governors set there for? Well, Daniel was one of these three governors. He was put in that place so the satraps, these provincial rulers, would give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. In other words, these satraps, these provincial rulers over portions of the empire, they were stealing money from the king. I'm sure they were raising taxes. Wealth and money was flowing into this empire in the, you know, Median Persian Empire. And these provincial rulers, they're skimming money off the top. And so three governors were appointed by the emperor Darius, and one of those governors was Daniel. And Daniel had an excellent spirit. So that means he had one of honor and integrity. He was watching over these guys. Hey, there should be more money coming in this area. What's going on here? Why has taxation revenue dropped by 17%? What's going on? I'm going to go check this out myself. And of course, that provincial ruler, that satrap, oh, here comes Daniel. Here he is. All right, guys, clean the books up. You know, do everything on the up and up while he's here. Because you know he's going to, and you know, I'm sure, this is just my opinion and it's not written, so I can't set scripture, but I'm sure some of these satraps were trying to pay Daniel off. Look, Daniel, that's just what we do. Don't you understand? That's just kind of how things operate. You know, I've got to have a little bit more. My wife, she likes to go out to the Persian Mall, the Median Persian Mall, and buy new Persian rugs, Persian cats. That's the only two Persian things I know. No offense to anyone that's watching or listening from Persia. I'm sure you have a rich, deep heritage. But, you know, hey, come on, Daniel. The wife and kids, they need some new shoes and clothes. Well, you know, I'm not taking much to where the king would know. Just skimming a little off the top. And in fact, Daniel, if you kind of just keep this under wraps, we probably can find a little bit for you as well. Just, a couple bags of gold for you, if you don't mind. You know, just how about we could just keep this between us? Oh, I'm sure something like that happened. That's just usually, things like that usually happen in these types of scenarios. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. He had one that was upright. He was going to do what's right. And you and I, that's a decision. A spirit of excellence. To carry ourselves with an excellent spirit is a decision. It's not something where the Lord just zaps us and makes us do it. No. We have to decide, I'm going to glorify God in everything that I say and everything I do and even in my thought life. All of me is going to be to glorify God. And I'm going to do what I do well. I'm going to do it to the best. It's going to be on the up and up. It's going to be one of honesty and integrity. I'm not going to lie, cheat, or steal my way to success. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to put in a good day's worth of work. If I'm working for an employer or working for a customer, I'm going to do what I said I'll do. I'm going to be early. I'll stay late. I'll get the job done. And when it's done right. And if by chance, we're all human, I did something wrong or something fails, I'll make it good. That's an excellent spirit. And I'm telling you, as Christians, as believers, we should always carry ourselves with a spirit of excellence. There is no one on the planet that should have more of a spirit of excellence than sons and daughters of God. I mean, think about it. Why should someone that is dead in sins, just as we all were before we put our faith in Christ, but why should someone dead in sin outwork us? Outperform us, outsucceed us. Why should someone on the job be a harder worker, more diligent, more skillful? It's not, well, look, there's going to be people more skillful than you, but you should always be striving to be more skillful in what you're doing. What has God gifted you to do? What talents and abilities have within you, birthed within you, that you had to develop? Yes, but there's certain things that you enjoy, that you gravitate toward. Why are you not getting better in those areas? I pray to God that you are, me as well. There's things we should constantly be getting better and better. You know, I can look at this, with the podcast here. I'm in two and a half years at this point, 200 plus episodes on the podcast channel. I'm not using the same system or gear or setup or website or platform or distribution service that I used when I was recording my seventh podcast episode. I'd have to go back and look at the statistics, but I think it's like 60-some-odd% of all podcasts never make a seventh episode. In other words, people say, I'm going to do a podcast on a whim or whatever. Or they decide it truthfully and just don't follow through, and they record a couple episodes, but most of them never make it past episode 7. Well, we're going to hit episode 200 here. I'd have to actually count. This could be the 200th episode. I don't know. I'm going to have to look now at this point. I don't have a quick way to look doing it while we're recording. But, like, I've been doing this thing for a little while now. And I'm not using any of the same system, gear, setup, website. I didn't even have a website when I started. And we're going to talk about that in just a second, about starting where you're at. But the point I'm making is I have grown. Now, this is just one area of my life. I'm sure you've got examples in yours, but all of us should be growing. When I started doing this podcast, I had a $100 wireless mic that clipped onto my lapel and a cell phone. That was the video. I used my iPhone. That was the video podcast of the video. That was the video for the video podcast. Then I had a $60 mic that actually I still have. It's an excellent mic. Bought it used. Going into an interface into my iPad that I used for the audio. And then so I had a video recording. I had an audio recording. They weren't the same recordings. And I would upload the video to Facebook and Instagram. I wasn't even doing YouTube then. And then I had the audio that I would have to edit on the iPad, and it just was not easy to do. It wasn't hard, but it just wasn't convenient, and upload it. Now when I do this, I have a really nice Sony DSLR camera. I've got accent lights. I'm using a laptop. I've got a cloud lifter into the interface. I've got an awesome pro-grade boom arm that I can position this mic wherever I want. And now I can use my iPad for study resources while I'm teaching on the fly rather than having it recording, because I was never able to use my iPad when I was doing it the old way. And so when I edit, I can go and edit this video. It takes me about 6 minutes of work time. There's some processing time, but I just let it run on the laptop and go to bed. Or go off with my family, or go sit in the living room, hang out, whatever. I mean, it takes me like 2 or 3 minutes to clip the ends, go ahead and process it, upload it, write out the description, and in 15 minutes from start to finish, on the editing side, I've got a video podcast that's going to be made available on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, formerly known as Twitter, and also on all the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. And the system's so much easier. It's so much better quality. It sounds better. It looks good. It's in landscape, not portrait. So it actually looks good on YouTube. But I didn't just get there. I made a decision. I'm going to do what I feel God would call me to do. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to my best ability. I want you to hear this. Zechariah 4 verse 10 says this. For who has despised the day of small things? For these 7 rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. So this is concerning Zechariah's ministering during this time of rebuilding of the temple, the walls of Jerusalem, and rebuilding Jerusalem itself. And he has many visions to encourage the people of God, this remnant, this believing remnant, to do the work of the Lord that God's commanded them to do. And in fact, I think it's Haggai, when they do complete the foundation of the third temple that would be built, or rather second temple, I believe it is, the second temple that would be built, the third in Herod's day, the second one, there's some people, when they're finished that foundation, a lot of the young people are rejoicing, but the older people, they're crying because they see the size and the degree of which they're building the temple, and they compare it to the one that was, and the one was that was more glorious. But this one, it's not as big, it's not as nice. They're doing their best, but so Zechariah, by the Spirit of the Lord, he's among many truths in that very first portion of verse 10. You can see, do not, the King James is what I have in my mind, do not despise the day of small beginnings. New King James, don't despise the beginning of small things. In other words, don't despise or belittle or overlook or devalue where you are right now and what you have in your hand. Rather, commit what you have now to the Lord and get after it. Commit what you have now to the Lord and go to work. You know, Daniel didn't start off as one of the top three governors in the Median Persian kingdom. He didn't start off there. He started off a slave, a prisoner of war that had been forcibly kidnapped out of his nation, that was ransacked and destroyed by a conquering army known as Babylon. And by the power of God, being able to have that gift on his life to interpret dreams, having faith in God, which made him a recipient for that gift to interpret dreams, he rises in authority and power in the Babylonian kingdom. But then this new kingdom, this Persian kingdom, comes and wipes out the Babylonian kingdom. And Daniel goes not from being destroyed, but to rising even higher in this new kingdom, which is not a normal thing. Generally, when kingdoms took over other kingdoms, they wiped everybody out that was in charge. But not Daniel. Daniel actually went higher. So notice, he went from prisoner of war, slave, to one of three governors, and now King Darius wants to make him the second-hand man, right-hand man. It's kind of like the story of Joseph, isn't it? Joseph sold into slavery. Then he becomes the head slave in Potiphar's house. Then he's thrown in the dungeon as a criminal. Then he ends up running the jail. Then he finally goes before Pharaoh. Then he becomes second in command. Wherever you put Joseph, Joseph thrives. He succeeds. He rises to the top because God was with him and he knew that. And there was a spirit of excellence on him as well. But in order for you to rise in excellence, you cannot belittle where you are at right now. I'm telling you, the Lord has called you. You have a calling on your life. There's something God needs you and desires you to do. Some people say, well, God doesn't need me to do anything. Okay. Well, then you tell me how God gets things done in the earth apart from His church. Show me how the Lord works in the earth apart from the hands and feet of the body of Christ, which is the church, you and me. He doesn't. He works through you and I. That in His sovereignty and His power and His might, He has said, I will work through faithful men and women. That's the channel that I choose. And He's in charge, so He gets to make that decision. And so if we know that God is with us and He has called us, then let us be about the business of starting and going all in what God has called us to do and do it well. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm 33. I'm a pastor. I've been in full-time ministry. At this point, I believe it's 3 years in full-time ministry. But I'm a pastor's kid. I've grown up in church. My second home was church. I've fell asleep on pews more times than I can count. I mean, I love church. I love everything about it. I love the people of God. I love ministry. I have no ill thoughts or bad things to say about it. None. There's some people that are in my position. I don't want to pass judgment. I'll just be quiet. But there's some folks in my position, they want to mock or make fun of or tear down ministry. I don't know what planet they live on. I love people. I love Jesus. I love serving the Lord, and I love blessing His people. I love seeing people saved, discipled, and made into strong Christians and followers of Jesus. I love seeing the miracle power of God move in people's lives, whether individually or in churches. I just love it. I love the kingdom of heaven. I love it. Well, you know what? I guess the first time I ever stood in front of a church congregation, I have no earthly idea why they let me do this, but I was probably like 14. And it was a very short portion of the service, but I quote unquote preached on a pastor appreciation service that had some other kids doing things. And I preached this sermon. Oh gosh, it had to be terrible. When I think about it, it's unbearable for me to think about, but it had to be the worst thing ever to sit through. Well, thank God I didn't stay that where I was then. Through much prayer, through study, through reading the Word, through practical things like going back and listening to yourself talk. You know what? If any of you have experience of public speaking, or maybe it's singing or playing or doing something where you're in front of a camera, that very first time you go back and listen to yourself, you think, I don't sound like that. And that's because you're actually hearing yourself with your outer ear. Because when you talk, you actually hear yourself with your inner ear. And so you think, do I really sound like that? Oh, I can't stand how I sound. Oh, my goodness. You know, it just throws you off. But something practical like just listening to myself preach, then I realize, you know what? I say a lot. Or I got into a habit where I would say, right? Right? Da-da-da-da-da. Right? And one day, I think I was married at that point. My wife said, you said right a lot, like 29 times. I was like, no, there's no way. Went back and listened. I was like, okay, I'm never saying the word right again. And I actually learned to like, you know what? It's okay if there's 2.7 seconds of silence. Just let it sit. Let the thought sit for a second. I don't have to rush to the next thing. Just let it sit. And it's going to be okay. And so there's practical things I did as well. Stand in front of the mirror. Why do I make those weird faces when I, you know, see video of me? All right, how can I read this and not look like someone that's in pain and anguish in their facial expressions? You got to start where you're at and then go forward. So step one, developing an excellent spirit. Being in this place like Daniel was, where even you're surrounded by enemies and you're still excelling and you're still succeeding. Step one, you got to start where you're at. You have to start where you're at. Step two, you got to develop your skill. I kind of led into that. But listen to this, 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. My man, David. We mentioned him in the last podcast episode as well, more so talking about King Saul. But King David, before he was king, he was a little boy and he was a shepherd. He was a young man shepherding his father's sheep. 1 Samuel 16, verse 18 says this. They're looking for someone to come and play and minister under the anointing of God for King Saul because he's distressed, because he's backslidden. He's turned his heart from God and he's just turmoil, inner turmoil. So David is the one that's selected. Notice this is what they say about David, verse 18. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I've seen a son of Jesse, because there were a bunch of them, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord's with him. He's anointed. But notice that. He's skillful in playing. Look, I lead worship at my church. I have played guitar. I've had a guitar in my hand my whole life. I've had to learn and become better and increase my skill level, when it comes to playing guitar. I sing. I started singing when I was 13, 14. My precious sister gave me voice lessons for a Christmas gift about 3 months after I started singing in my first band ever, 100-fold. You know, God will give you 3,600-fold, 100-fold. Unlock the blessings of God. And so I started singing, and about 3 months, I'd only sang a couple times in front of people at the most. She gave me singing lessons. It's kind of like getting deodorant for Christmas. You know, if you think about it too much, you think, wait a minute, I must stink. But don't think about it too much. Just accept the gift, apply the deodorant, and move along smiling. Because it's a gift for you and the people who may have smelled you. The singing lessons were the same. It was a gift for me, but also for the ears of those that would have to listen. Thank you, Angel. I appreciate that. And so those lessons, I took them for years, helped me so well. Robert Hofer was my music teacher. Robert Hofer, great guy, good Christian guy, taught me how to sing. He always would say, anybody can sing. Anybody can sing. Maybe not great, but anybody can sing. And so I learned how to sing. I had to develop a skill. And that developing of that skill of playing and singing, it has taken me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places, all types of churches. Oh man, I've played not just at churches, youth groups, events. I've played on flatbed trailers at barbecue festivals. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's opened many doors for me. I've gotten to meet lots of people. I've gotten to be part of many opportunities of ministry. But I had to develop the skill. I started where I was at. Wasn't very good when I started. And I kept at it, and I developed the skill. Because David wasn't just this guy, oh, Lord bless him. We've all been there in church. Someone gets up to sing a special. Y'all pray for me. The devil's been after me all week. I hadn't had much time to practice. Honey, you had 168 hours to practice just like the rest of us. That's 168 hours is in 1 week. You've been knowing about singing this special for the past 7 weeks. Come on, honey. You could have practiced this song. The devil ain't got that much time to be chasing you for 7 weeks. You could have ran through this song a couple times. Y'all pray for me as I sing this song. No, we need to be skillful in what we do for the Lord. Commit yourself to get better. A spirit of excellence commits themselves to get better. A person with a spirit of excellence, you're going to make a commitment. I'm going to persevere and become better and the best. You know, think about it. Why shouldn't Christians? Christians should be the best in what they do. And in the area of their job and their employment. They should be the number one employee month after month. And your employer should have a problem very soon. Your employer should come to a place where they have to call a meeting with leadership and say, look, here's the deal. I know my friend Sydney listens to the podcast. We'll use her name. Here's the deal. Sydney, she's an excellent employee, right? We know that. Okay. Here's the problem. She keeps winning Employee of the Month every single month. Based on merit, just she outworks everybody. She does it with a smile. She's excellent. And by merit, by our merit-based scale of giving Employee of the Month awards away, she's winning it every single month. What's the problem with that? She's won it 27 months in a row. Somebody's got to win it some other time. People are getting upset. That should be the scenario with Christians. You should be the first person someone wants to work with, not the last. And my goodness, oh my goodness, you better not blame God for it. Don't be that person. Don't make your excuse for your lack of diligence to become skillful and to practice and get better and be diligent on the job or in school or with your family or when you serve at church. Don't blame God and play the God card. Well, you know, y'all just pray for me on this or that. Or, well, you know, I'm doing my best. No. Work hard. Just because we're believers, just because we're saved by grace through faith, doesn't mean we're alleviated of having to work hard and be diligent. And God deserves it. That's step number two to developing excellent spirit. You got to develop your skill. Step number three and four, or key three and four really of developing an excellent skill or excellent spirit, are really spiritual. Genesis 1 verse 27, listen to this. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The reason you should carry an excellent spirit is because you're a child of God. Chapter 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. End of list. Male and female, he created them. Notice, you and I have been created in the image of God and in his likeness. We're God's very own child. And when you are born again, you're brought into the family of God. And you're made a son of God. You're made a daughter of God. Behold, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. We're sons of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. And that very position and reminding yourself of who you are, that should stir up an excellent spirit in you. Because you shouldn't live in such a way. Come on now. You shouldn't live in such a way to where you bring disrespect and dishonor towards your Father in heaven. You should live and operate in such a way that you glorify your Father. That's what Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I can remember that because my friend, the Stevens family of Pop Scriptures, go check them out on YouTube, Spotify, Pop Scriptures, they did that song. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's that's the melody they wrote for it. I can remember it. But notice that. Let your light shine so that men can see your good works. And when they see your, not bad works, not mediocre works, your good works, what's that going to do? It's going to bring glory to God. It brings glory to God. And so you should be in a place, you know what? I'm a child of God. I've got power with God. I'm in the family of God. I'm not just some orphan running around. Though I was dead in sin, though I was a son of disobedience, I've been saved, I've been redeemed. And that right there should motivate us to have an excellent spirit. Because what God has invested in you and me, power and might, saving grace, the blood of Jesus purchased us. That right there, that one thing, knowing that Christ spilt his sinless blood for me, is enough for me to do everything I do and do it with excellence. Number four, the fourth key to developing an excellent spirit is you're filled with the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, the Lord's. So in other words, if you're saved, the Spirit of God's in you. If the Spirit of God ain't in you, you ain't saved. But if you're saved and your faith's in Christ as Lord, the Spirit of God dwells in you, in your Christ. And if that Spirit of Christ dwells in you, then why would we not operate with an excellent spirit? Why would we not live in such a way, carry ourselves in such a way, not to just be the average, skate by, mediocre. No, carry yourself with dignity, not pride. We're not lifting ourselves up by belittling others. No, we're lifting other people up with us because we're people of dignified position with God. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. That right there, knowing that God's Spirit empowers and indwells in you, is enough to encourage you to live life with a spirit of excellence. I want to close on this as Colossians 3:24-25. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. In other words, God doesn't play favorites. Notice this, verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it full of energy. Do it full of might. Do it with full of fervency. With everything that you are, do it. As to the Lord and not to men. Notice, whatever you do. So that implies there's some things you're doing that are very natural. They're very common. Keeping the house, raising children, homework at your school, you're in high school, you're in college, taking classes, your job you work, whether it's a part-time job because you're in school or it's a full-time career, serving at church. I'm telling you, you think you're just hosting. You think you're just doing, you know, teaching children's church. You think you're just, you know, volunteering in the food ministry or in youth group. No, you're working for Jesus. You're working for Jesus. You think you're just hanging out at work. I'm just going to ride the clock a little bit. No, You're working for the Lord. You may be at your place of employment, but you're working for God. Everything we do it unto the Lord, because we know God rewards us. So that should empower you, and that should encourage you. Well, I would be excellent on the job, but you don't know my employer. I don't give a rip about your employer. No offense to your employer. But that's an excuse, and it ain't a good one. Well, you don't know how they treat me over there. You're working for Jesus, remember? Now, look, many people that are listening are in the U.S. There's other people listening from the United Kingdom, Canada, Germany, other places that I can always see that pop in. Probably the same scenario with you and your nation. But I know here in my nation, employers are begging for employees. If you don't like your employer, you don't like where you work, go get another job. It's a free country. You don't have to spend your entire life complaining about it. But go wherever you go, take an excellent spirit with you. Well, you don't know. Remember, you're not working for them. You're working for Jesus. And He will reward you. If you're working above what you're being paid, I guarantee you, as you do it unto the glory of God, God will reward you. It says it there, Colossians 3:24. He will repay you. He's not going to let you go to work with an excellent spirit and not have you succeed. He didn't with Daniel. He took Daniel from a prisoner of war, a slave, to the second man in charge of the largest empire on the planet. He did it with Joseph. He didn't leave him as a slave or a criminal. He made him the second man in Egypt. But notice this, verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done. For there is no partiality. God doesn't play favorites. So there's a reward for doing right, but there's a punishment for doing wrong. We must carry ourselves with dignity and honor so that we might glorify the Lord in all we do. Hey, I'm so thankful for you that you're watching and listening and that you're part of the faithful. I really appreciate you. I pray this encourages you. Carry yourself with a spirit of excellence. Sincerely do it. And I'm telling you, the Lord will bring success in your life like you would never believe. Hey, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching there. If you're listening on a podcast platform, leave me a 5-star review. It helps me get this message out to more and more people. And with those, it seems like very little things to you, maybe tapping a like button, sharing, subscribing. It's just a tap or two. Seems like a little thing. It really does push this podcast and this ministry of teaching in front of more and more eyes. And that's my goal. That's my ministry. And I'm thankful that you're helping me and you're a part of that movement. You're a part of this believing generation that's going all out for Christ in these last moments of time. And we're going to give Jesus everything we've got. And we're going to do our absolute best for Him because we carry ourselves with a spirit of excellence. I know you will. I know you do. I know there's a spirit of excellence on your life because we are the faithful. I'll see you next time. God bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you. And every Thursday, I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.